Welcome to the Gift of Second Chances. I am your host, Melinda. This podcast is designed to educate you, make you laugh, think, react, and repeat the information you hear as we discuss the issues that are affecting and infecting our communities. Hello, and welcome to another episode of The Gifts of Second Chances. Today, I am so excited to have someone very special in this space, and this is a person that I met via internet. For those of y'all who know me well, that is a plus that I actually got on the internet and met somebody. But for those that don't know me, yay, the internet works. So... today, my guest is Miss Ashley Browning. Miss Ashley is a communer, crusader, self-influencer, and sexual health educator. Sorry, I can't read today. She's a native of Dayton, Ohio. She's an advocate for the culture and state of the Black community with a heart for Black women and girls. Through her passion, she's selfish. She is able to promote wholeness, awareness, and education around, around self-care, self-love, meditation, mindfulness, and sexual health. She's selfish is a safe space and a statement of empowerment where she inspires others to care for self and operate from a place of overflow rather than depletion. Oh, I'm going to have to say that again. She's selfish is a safe space and a statement of empowerment where she inspires others to care for self, operate from a place of overflow rather than depletion. Ashley is leading the charge of self-care as a lifestyle as she seeks to continue to empower through self-care coaching, events, and products. She is also the founder of So Loved, a nonprofit organization that is committed to the social, racial, and economic development of West Dayton through education and outreach. Through her work in the community, she has received countless awards and prestigious community organizations and has previously served on the boards of multiple nonprofit organizations. Most notably, she was recently inducted as one of the 40 under 40 from Kentucky State University and the Dayton Business Journal. When asked what continues to motivate Ashley to serve her community, she notes the legacy of her grandfather, Harry C. Browning. I would like to give a standing ovation welcome to Miss Ashley Browning.
Yay! Yeah. Yay! Thank you so much for reading my bio, Melinda. I appreciate that. And I'm ready to talk today.
Absolutely, girl. I had to get this in because, first of all, when y'all go to her website, y'all gonna be blown away. Just the name, period, She's Selfish, that is a statement in itself. How did you come up with that?
So I originally had a business with two other young ladies, my partners. We had a business called, we have a business called Self-Care Ain't Selfish.
Okay.
And I wanted to still keep in the same realm of selfish, right?
Uh-huh.
Because a lot of times we often think that that is a bad word or it's a bad terminology. So I wanted to bring light to it being something that is important for our community. So I wanted to say it also in a term that Black people can relate to. So I wanted to say she's selfish because I wanted you to have that little twang. You put your hand back when you say it and all that. So, yes. So that's how right. I came up with that.
Say it with attitude.
Uh-huh. Say it with attitude. Yep.
I love it. I was so blown away just when you sent me the link to your website. I was like, okay, this is legit, legit. Okay.
Oh, thank you. I did my own website. So I'll
you did your own website?
Yes.
Oh
yes.
My gosh. Okay. I cannot wait for you to, you know what? Let's go. Let's not even wait. Let's go ahead and give the audience. We'll give it to them at the end, but let's give the audience the website name.
This is SheSelfish.com. It's so easy to find. SheSelfish.com.
SheSelfish.com. Okay, I love it. And the colors are just popping. And your topics are so catchy. But today, I asked you to come on here for a very special topic. Let's talk about sex, baby. Hey. Let's talk about you and me. Let's talk about sex.
Yes.
This is one of your topics that you talk about to teens. And this month, definitely want to highlight how important it is to talk to our teens, not just the girls, but the boys as well. And anybody, non-binary, everybody, let's talk to everybody in the teen category and young adults about safe sex. So yes. How do you approach that topic?
Yeah, so I talk about this through primarily anybody typically, but I do teens and I also do teen girls and I do Black women. So this is a great time. This is STI Awareness Week is coming up. So this is a great time to kind of have that conversation around what sexual health looks like.
Absolutely.
So a lot of times sexual health is not what we think. We always typically think that sexual health is don't get pregnant. But there's so many other things that comes along with sex.
Yes.
So that's why I literally want to talk about those things. And like make people aware. I'm all about that transparency. I'm all about people like just being healed through conversation. So that's why I want to talk about these subjects pretty much.
Absolutely. I can remember being a teen myself, and that was one of the reasons why I started this podcast, because in my community in Jackson, Mississippi, like I was a teen parent, and as a teen mom, once I went out in the community, got educated, got some certificates under my belt. Like I wanted to make awareness about teen pregnancy, and I'd included the STIs and SCD education as well. So this was one of the near and dear topics that was dear to me as well. And of course, thank God I only got the pregnancy part of the danger of sex at an early age with no information and no education. You got the message of don't do it, but don't do it makes you want to do it.
Right.
What am I missing?
So a lot of times we come from that angle of just don't have sex. But why?
Right.
Why? Like, so we don't talk about those parts of like that sex is really a big thing. And you have to be like, not only emotionally mature, you have to be mentally mature to handle the ramifications that come along with sex. Everybody just talk about how like it's great. Yeah, it can be great, but like what are the other things that come along with it? And am I ready for that? Like at 17, like am I ready for a baby? Like what does that look like? 14, 15, am I ready for a kid? Like nobody talks about like the attachments and stuff that come along with, having sex.
Yes. So let's talk about those attachments. Let's talk about what makes you ready to have sex. And I know it's different for each individual, but let's talk about what makes us ready. Let's talk about the attachments first, because I think that's one of the most important things, because in today's culture, people is like get in, get out. But it's not a get in and get out, especially if you understand the attachment that comes with sex. It's not a get in and get out. And then you only taking those traumas to each individual that you think you getting in and getting out of. So let's talk about the attachments.
I think a lot of sex is rooted in, for women, I always say a lot of times, like we're not explained like the ramifications, like I said before. So a lot of times we take it and try to replace love with it. Or we try to have any voice that we may have. We try to get it through sex or through a person that, you know, is connected through sex. Right. So I think a lot of times that if we have those conversations of like self-love, so that's why that's one of my topics too, because, you know, I was at a place where I didn't love myself. I didn't think my parents loved me. I didn't think, you know, so when I got to college, it was, I'm about to give myself to whoever. Right.
Right.
And so a lot of times we don't talk about that either. Like how we trying to fill those voids, and that comes from different things. It can be sex, it can be alcohol, it can be drugs, it can be whatever.
Right.
So that just being able to be in a space of like, do you love yourself?
Mm.
And if you do love yourself, like what do you think you're worthy of? And what do you think you're not worthy of?
Wow.
So if I know that I'm worthy of X, Y, and Z, I'm not going to lower my standards just to have sex with somebody.
She's selfish. You go, girl. But that's true. That is definitely true. I mean, because we do give ourselves away to people who don't deserve it, to people that don't know how to talk to us. You know, they only nice when they know they finna get something. And other than that, you know, they avoiding us, or they don't want to answer our calls, or when we done sent them a whole paragraph, they giving us one-liners.
Yep.
You know, and so definitely, you know, it is about self-love. It is about, do you value yourself? Do you think you're important enough? And is this person demonstrating love to you to be able to get your cookies
mm-hmm.
and your cake? You know, if you older.
yeah, definitely, like, asking yourself those tough questions, like,
right.
Do he or she deserve it? Like, is it even worth it? And then, you know, if you have any religious background, we believe in soul ties. We believe in those attachments that you don't necessarily need to have.
Right.
So it's a lot of different things. It's not just, I'm about to have sex with this person and that's it.
Right.
There are things, you might wake up one day and you might have feelings or sensations for something that you never had before, because now you then got that from somebody else that you done had sex with. So, like, yeah. And I wish people were having these conversations, like, around, like, the middle school age group, because that is when your curiosity kind of comes at that age. Sometimes before, but typically at that middle school age range, you definitely get that curiosity, and you become inquisitive, and you want to know, and you want to start testing things out.
Right.
So, you know, I think that's when that age group, 7th grade, is tough.
Girl, 7th grade is tough.
So, like, yeah, like, explaining, like, okay, you know, you graduate from, you know, you may be starting out at just fingering somebody, but then you're going to graduate to oral sex, and then eventually you're going to have the whole thing. So,
right.
Like, figuring out, like, what that looks like.
Figuring out what that looks like. And then not only that, even once you get past and you say, oh, well, I'm just going to use a finger. Like, you can always go in with an agenda. But those of us who have had sex, we know sometimes the agenda expands.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just talk about it. And if you don't come prepared for the expanded agenda, you might walk away with more than a good feeling.
Yep. And that's also one of the good things. We don't teach consent on both ends, right? So
right.
A lot of times we tell boys, or like, no means no, but do girls hear that message as well? And knowing, like, there's different levels of consent. So I can literally be butt, booty hole naked, and we can be in the middle of having sex. And if I say no,
yes.
You still have to stop.
You still
so
have to stop.
So I don't care what we did before my no, we still have to stop at that point.
Right.
So, like, being able to talk about, there are different levels of consent. There are consent of, if I consent to you doing X, Y, and Z, and then you do Z and M and N, like, I didn't consent to M and N. So that is not, you know, what something that I consent to. So that can be considered sexual assault. So it's different layers to what consent looks like. And how do we begin to teach those things to our children and also adults? You know, we get to be, we were children once and we didn't learn when we were children. So now we're adults trying to figure it out. So we got 40, 50 year olds that still being inappropriate because they did not get that lesson of consent. Like no means no. And like, well, this age anyway, this dating age is crazy right now.
Girl, let me tell you, just from, like I said in the beginning, I'm not an internet person. I'm not one of those, you know, on the internet. And when, I mean, you know, with dating and social media and, you know, I just have never gravitated to that. And then when you have to do it for work and just to see what people are involved in, I be clutching my pearls. I'm just saying. I'm like, we didn't, you know, we talked about stuff. You talk about stuff with your girlfriends, you know, when you young, middle school, high school, whatever. But what the conversation is going on now, oh my goodness. Honey, pearls be clutched for real.
What are some things that clutch your pearls?
Just the idea of the guy saying stuff like, if you love me, not only would you do me, you would do my friends too. And the girl's going for it. And I know, you know, back in the day, they would say, if you love me, you would do me. Where your friends come in at?
Well, you know, I'm very open and very, because of my background in sexual health. So I know or see or hear a lot of different things, right?
Yes.
And I even practice myself ethical non-monogamy. So I understand, like, this generation is, like, open to a lot of different things that
explore.
A lot of people would not be, like, okay with or oblivious to.
It just floors me how, like you said, the consent and how they feel like they have to do this because of what they think is love from this particular person, when they don't realize if this person love you, they would never do anything like that. You know, or even ask you to do anything like that. So that just amazes me, the kind of things that people go for because of the lack of love for themselves, you know. And I also believe that a lot of them is the girls with daddy issues. You know, you looking for that acceptance, that love from that male, and your dad never taught you what the respect that a man's supposed to show you, because he wasn't there to show you that, you know, to be that example. And anytime I see a man with his daughter, I'm like, good, great job. And I know that's something he's supposed to do, but at the same time, I want to praise him for just doing what he's supposed to do, because so many of them don't do that. And you have mothers with open wounds raising their daughters. And somebody who is hurt can't teach healing. All they can teach you is from a hurt experience, you know?
That's why I always say hurt people hurt people.
Hurt people hurt other people. That,
you know, there is no toolbook to parenting or even to healing, right? And it looks different for everybody. What works for me might not work for you. But also being open-minded to knowing I don't know all the answers. So I'm learning as I go. And so we can learn together. Like, so as a parent, if you're a child, and you can say to your child and say, hey, if I do something wrong, let me know. Mm-hmm. Because that's, I think, when you have that open space, then your kids are more more apt to come and talk to you about different things. Because you see what person as a human, right? Like, versus just, I'm your authority and you're going to do what I say, right? So when you have that open, like, most of my I don't have children. Most of my friends have children, older children at the age that they're probably doing it, right? And so they like, oh my God, I don't want to have that conversation with them. I don't want to, you know, I don't want to. And they like, I tell you, you want to say? And I was like, yeah, I talk to a lot. You know, I give them condoms, show them how to use them, all of that stuff, right? But like, I was a teen once. I know what that looks like. And I know what.
That's scary.
I know what it looks like. I know some things that I wish my mom would have told me, or, you know, like instead of figuring it out through friends, because usually when you figure it out through friends, it'd be all wrong. And so, like, being able to have those real conversations.
Yes, Lord.
Like, I didn't.
I got a baby on some wrong information. Trust me. They telling me they doing it. Wasn't nobody doing it. I did it and got pregnant. What?
They want to glamorize it. They want to hype it up like, girl, I'm doing. Girl, they not doing it.
And this was not glamorous. Trust me. This was not glamorous. So I'm walking around the school pregnant. Now, whether they done did it or not, I'm the only one with the evidence. So I'm looking like, ooh, I'm the fast girl. Uh-huh. When I'm just going by what y'all said.
Yep.
So, you know, so I get what you're talking about, that wrong information. So that's why I used to tell my kids, don't go to another dummy like you. I tried to set a circle up for them to be able to feel comfortable. Go to be able to ask those questions if you don't feel comfortable coming to me. Because I know sometimes it can get a little awkward, you know, asking your parent about certain things.
Right.
But please ask another adult and not a dummy like you are. So, because I've suffered that consequence before.
Yes.
But let's talk about the self-love. Like, because more importantly, that conversation is more important than using a condom, getting tested, having sex, consent. Because if we talk more about the self-love and teach people what that looks like, I think we would have more virgins. What do you think?
I think that, okay, so I've done projects where I worked in college campuses, right? So 18 to 24 year olds. I think that if self-love was talked about at an earlier age, I think we would have more people who are more cautious. Now, I don't know if that means more virgins, but I also think that means less partners. So even if I do have sex, I would not be reaching me at 18 with 20 to 50 partners. So I would say that people would be more cautious because of self-love. So whether that is not having sex or that is limited partners, like I'm a realist and I know that everybody is not going to be a virgin, right?
Right.
So I think that it would be a little looked at a differently through like the lens of, they don't deserve it. She don't deserve it. So let me be cautious of who I've had sex with or give my body to.
So basically, we'll have more people out in the community that won't be saying, she's selfish, he's selfish.
Definitely. Yes.
So your message wouldn't be just a cliche. It would be an actual verb.
you gotta be selfish with your body in totality. So like it's mine, right? And I have the choice to be able to say, I'm giving this to you or I'm not giving this to you. Same with self-care, same with self-love. Like it's up to me to get it, right? And then once I get it, then I can set those boundaries. Then I can be able to say no without feeling bad or having guilt and the shame or shame around it. So like all of those things will be put into practice, basically.
Exactly. I think when we wait to a certain time when it's appropriate, you know, to talk to kids about sex, but to teach them about self-love, we can start from the time they born. And so, and normalize it, you know, normalize loving yourself, normalizing taking care of yourself, not just your body, your physical appearance, but your mind, feed into your soul. We can teach them that as early as, you know, newborn, just by the things that we do. So I think that's one of the most important conversations that we can have with our youth, is teaching them like how you are important. Definitely if the parents, I mean, we have a lot of parents who don't understand that. So it's good to create a community that can teach your children that, because a lot of times if you self-aware, you understand you have wounds, you understand that you don't know, you know, a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. And as a parent, you're not required to know everything, but the things that you don't know, you are required to find that information or find somebody with that information. That is a requirement of being a parent, of a good parent anyway. Mm-hmm. And so when you talk to your audience or in your classes or in the community about self-love, what are some of the things that you suggest, or what are some of the things that you, you know, reiterate that they do?
So last month I focused on, the last quarter, it was primarily focusing on self-love. And so within that, my message through that was primarily, one of the things that we discuss is what does self-compassion look like?
Oh, I like that.
Because a lot of times, you know how we say, give yourself grace. We mm-hmm. don't give ourselves grace. No. So what does self-compassion look like? Okay. Don't hold that guilt. Don't hold that shame. Like own whatever it is and walk in it and be okay with it. Mm. So, a lot of times we are kind to other people, but we are not kind to ourselves.
That's right.
So self-compassion, what does that look like? What does compassion look like for you? And another thing, we talked about was self-respect. So what does respect look like, and what does it look like for yourself? You may be able to respect somebody else, but how do you respect yourself? Right. And do you respect yourself through boundaries? Do you respect yourself through whatever it may be? Like, how do you respect yourself, and how do you hold yourself or value yourself to the point that you know that you respect yourself? Another thing that we looked at was having those conversations with yourself about, so self-love is also a way to figuring out like where you are in your life, and figuring out like, do I have that self-compassion? Do I have that self-respect? And like, how do I now put these things together that I may have and go forward and being the best possible person that I can be, right?
Right.
So, you know, self, also with that self-love, like self-acceptance. So mm-hmm. basically like fully looking at yourself, including your strengths, your weaknesses, your quirks, your imperfections, and like acknowledging that you have peace with all of those aspects and who you are.
Right.
And we don't talk about peace often. We talk about, we want to be good, but is that through joy? Do you want to have joy? Do you want to have peace? Like, what does being good look like?
Right. Right. I know I would tell teens and adults alike, that you teach people how to treat you. And so yep. by how you treat yourself, like they are watching how you treat yourself. And if you're not good to yourself, then do you really think they're going to be good to you? They only going by example. You know, when people call you out of your name, you know, I tell them all the time, if that's not your name, why are you answering to it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's part of that self-respect.
Yep.
I mean, self-respect is knowing your name. Part of knowing who you are is that's basic. Know what your name is. Your name is not B. Your name is not H. Your name is not none of those other words that somebody may want to call you. You know, because we have all this bickering back and forth, and you know, people put stuff online about you and this, that, and the other. And they never call the person's name. They always say, "Oh, that B, blah blah blah, that
blah that."
Are they talking to you? If you don't go by that, then why are you so upset? They're not talking to you. So Definitely, I appreciate the message that you're talking about, self-respect, giving yourself grace, looking at yourself in totality and understanding who you are, where you're going, how you're going to get there. All of that is extremely important, and it will lessen the miles on you, or in your words, partners, lessen the partners. I always say, honey, you got a lot of miles on you. And you're putting more on you. If you got this many miles at 20, you got a long stretch to go.
Yeah, because I still want to be doing it in my to 90, okay?
Trust me, I used to work at a nursing home. They are still doing it at 90.
I do a lot of talks on STI education in nursing homes, so I definitely know. Yes.
So there are quite a few men in them blue pills getting around. So yes. You definitely want to understand self-love early, because sex comes in all formats, young, middle age, and old. So what other things do you really encourage the young people to understand when it comes to sexual health?
One of my things that I really like to educate people on is the different types of condoms and the different types of contraceptions, as not contraceptions as in like birth control, but like dental dams and stuff like that. So people are aware that there are possible things that can prevent you from contracting a STI, right?
Right.
I always talk about testing, making sure that you are getting tested. If you are having sex, I don't care if you're 16, if you're having sex, you need to go ahead and tell your doctor to give you that test. So like making sure that you are able to advocate for yourself medically, regardless of what age you may be, and being able to get the services you need, going to get your condoms. If you need to go get condoms, most places give them away for free at this point. Like,
yes.
So making sure that you know how to put them on, especially females. Like, of course, young men typically learn how to put them on, but I want females to know how to put them on as well. Because if he says he doesn't know how to put it on, you can be like, okay, I do. So, you know, making sure that you are aware that there are female condoms and what that looks like and how to use those. So just the educational piece is like super important in the community in totality, because it does help. Education helps to prevent or lower STI rates.
Right.
And just being more aware of what that looks like. And also, like, when we talk about self, like, sexual health, not just, you know, I might, you know, contract the STI where I might get pregnant, but also, like, how do you, are you doing your medical appointments? Are you going, you know, are you taking your appointments as you need? Are you going to get your pap smears? Are you, like, are you doing these things? Because a lot of times we don't have a sexual wellness regimen, right? A lot of times we just
go when something comes up.
Yeah, like, you know, what's your annual visit last night? What was your last annual visit?
Right.
Did you get tested for, because you don't always have to get, like, when you go to an annual visit, unless you request it, typically they don't just give you STI and HIV testing. So you have to ask for those things.
Right.
And then, like, making sure you know that you can do self exams for your mammograms and stuff like that. So, like, checking, like, writing down if you need to, okay, this time I had sex, and this count, you can do those in your little phone now. You can do apps. Okay, I had a period this day. I had sex this day, and I used this barrier method. And, you know, so you can have all of those different types of things. Like, it's at our fingertips now.
It is. It definitely is. It was interesting when you said the mammograms, because a lot of times when you do self-checking for breast exams, you know, a lot of people only think about females, but males can do exams for themselves as well, because they actually get lumps.
Yep, they can get lumps in their chest. Yep.
Yeah, so it's important for everybody to understand your body. Your body, your responsibility, not just the good parts, but all parts. You can't wait for somebody to protect you, because there are so many people who went unprotected by somebody that said, I love you.
Or somebody that they trusted.
Or somebody that they trusted.
Yeah. And then they, you know, end up with, you know, STI or HIV.
Or a baby.
Or they looking like.
And everybody say, oh, yeah, I'm going to be there for you, ride or die, until something come up, and then they just ride. So you definitely have to be aware of your own sexual health, your own awareness, just total awareness of yourself. And if you don't have that kind of parent that talk to you about that, they have clinics, they have health departments, they have all of these things are at your fingertips, and you can check your state for age of consent, to where your parents don't even have to know you getting tested. They don't even have to know that people are talking to you about certain things, because this is your choice. And so you can check Google. I mean, we all know Google. You can check Google. You can check Siri. You can check all of these, and they can give you that information, because it's your body, it's your health. There's no excuse nowadays to say, well, he didn't protect me, or she didn't protect me, or they didn't protect me. No, that's up to you to protect you.
It's up to you. It's not up to nobody else. It's up to you.
Exactly.
You have all the power over you and your body. So you have to continue to advocate for yourself. So that is, if that is, hey, do you want to go get tested with me? Okay, if you don't want to get tested with me, I need to at least see your results. Or I need to know, let me turn on this light real quick to make sure you put that condom on like you said you put on. So, like, having those
the light trick. Yes. Turn the lights on. If the person is valued enough to do it with, you valued enough to see what you're working with. You're not looking for size or depth. You're looking for lumps, bumps, and all of the other, anything moving, crawling, or creeping. You're looking for it all. So turn them lights on and stop letting people do the okie doke and trick you. Because this is your sexual health. This is your body.
Yep.
You got one body that you go through life in. And if you damage it at such a young age, you got consequences for the rest of your life. And there are so many people out there, you know, they are reminded, even though you can live nowadays, especially, you can live longer with different STIs, including HIV and AIDS. Still, why would you want to if it can be prevented?
And it can definitely can be prevented.
Right. So, what are some other things? What are some other things that you would encourage our listeners to do, either with their children, or if these are some teens that we're talking to, or some young adults, what are some things that you would encourage them to do for themselves, outside of what we have already discussed?
I would also focus on like identifying what are ways that you can protect yourself sexually. So like I said, is that, you know, getting a male condom? Is that a female condom? Is that dental dams? Is that
what dental dams are? Because I know people understand condoms, but explain to our listeners what dental dams are.
Dam, if it kind of puts you in a mind of like a half sheet of paper, but it's kind of plastic. It's kind of hard to explain, but it's, you can get them. It's literally like a sheet of paper. It's looked like a half sheet of paper, but it's plastic. You can get them in flavors, and you use that for oral sex for a female. So, the female would lay it on top of her, and then you would lick through that barrier pretty much. If you are a male, and a woman is, doing oral sex on you, women only use, you can use flavored condoms for oral sex, but you cannot use it for vaginal sex because you will get a yeast infection or bacterial infection. So flavored condoms are only supposed to be used, male condoms are only supposed to be used for oral sex with the male. So you can get an STI in your throat, in your mouth. So you should definitely be using some type of protection when you're doing oral sex.
Absolutely. Oh my goodness. I just can't imagine walking around with you in my throat, literally. Yeah.
So just imagine your throat is a smaller space. So the irritation is worse. The signs and symptoms are worse. So like, and we hit a lot of teens that are participating in oral sex because in their mind, it's not sex, right? Right. So a lot of them are participating and they're getting gonorrhea in the throat. So, yes. Definitely. It was a thing going around with the band, the wristbands. So like if they was wearing like color wristbands and if I pop a color, that means that I want you to give me a blowjob or whatever. And so the girls were really doing it. So just making sure you're aware of the different trends. We have so many social media outlets now that kids are picking up on different trends on there, or just because they're bored, you know, they're children, like they're making up stuff and is doing different types of things. So making sure that you are using different types of things to protect you. There are finger condoms. There are, you know, a vast majority of different things. So it's literally like a little balloon that kind of goes on your finger that you can use for like fingering or whatever. So thinking about like, who is your go-to person that you could talk to about sexual health? If it's not your mom or is it your auntie? Is it, you know, cousins, an adult cousin? Is it a mentor? Is it somebody at your school that you can talk to freely about these things without judgment? Also, we have to look at females get into the habit of looking at our menstrual products. Are they chemically free? Because now we have so many things that's laced with chemicals, right? Even your tampons got chemicals in it. Even your pads got chemicals in it. Like looking at those, reading the back of those packages, like making sure because those chemicals are now going in your body because you're wearing your tampon and you're wearing your pad. So there are some chemical-free natural tampons and all of that good stuff. So looking that kind of stuff up. Even if you are a teenager, knowing who you're, if you have a gynecologist or if you have a doctor that give you pap smears or whatever, like knowing who that person is, because a lot of times they ask me like, I don't even know how to get in touch with my doctor. Well, like, you know, so like those kind of things.
Right, right.
Like I said, if you are sexually active, get tested every 3 to 6 months. Not just outside of just that year, but you can get a full wellness checkup once a year. I think those are good places to start. Like I said, and I think one of the biggest things for teens is having someone to talk to.
Yes, have someone to talk to. That is extremely, extremely important, having somebody to talk to, that you don't have to sugarcoat and you don't have to dance around different topics. Because before you get to an adult, you got to go through the teen phase. So please remember, to all teens, any adult that you talk to, they had to go through the teen phase to get to the adult phase. So you're not talking to somebody who don't understand how you feel, those feelings that come up, the pressures that come up. Trust me, the pressures that came up in 1970 are the same pressures that came up in 1930, same pressures that come up in 2024. So the pressures are not new. The requests may be a little different, but the pressures are not new. But I'm sure if we researched all around the world, even the requests are not new, because back in the old days, they was, like Marvin Gaye said, getting it on.
So, I mean it's all of the music from generations to generations.
From generations to generation. Only thing with this generation is more open. The old generations, it was coded. So
yes.
But it was still doing it. So Miss Ashley, I appreciate so much you coming on here. I love the name. How can our listeners get in touch with you, because it's so important that they know it's okay to be selfish about yourself. This is about you. How can they get in touch with you?
All platforms. I am She's Selfish LLC. So I make it easy so you don't forget it. It's the same on all platforms.
Okay.
And then my website is sheselfish.com. You can find me. Email is contact@sheselfish. So you can hit me up any of those ways. And I will respond to you personally, typically. So yes, just hit me up. If you need somebody to talk to your kids, I would love to. If you have questions as an adult, I have these questions. I have one-on-one sessions with groups, teen groups, youth groups, mm-hmm. church groups. I have these for teens and adults. So I have at the age I usually start at is 13 to 19 and then 20 and up.
Okay. So you have no excuse that you don't have anybody to talk to, because She's Selfish is offering her services to the world out there. And I recommend her website. Go out there and see what she's talking about. See what she's doing. I appreciate you coming on here, sharing the information, sharing your knowledge. Hopefully we can get you back again, because this is a topic that is very much needed, especially the self-care, the self-love, the self-awareness. All of that is so needed. And we don't need to just talk about it one time. We need to have these conversations continuing, so that our teens can grow up to be fully aware and self-loved adults. So thank you so much, Miss Ashley, for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. I'm going to stand up and give you a standing ovation for myself.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. You have a great day, okay?
Okay, you too.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Gifts Podcast. If you or someone you know have a story of second chances that you would like to share, please contact us at thegifts.23@gmail.com. That's thegifts.23@gmail.com. We look forward to hearing from you.